Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Sounds of the Tower of Power, of course, www.towerofpower.com. Check them out. They've been making the funk for like 50 years now. Their new LP, 50 Years of Soul and Funk. Check them out. They are happening. Towerofpower.com. Straight up, we await the retired HBO godfather Larry Merchant. Of course, I'm looking at this Showtime schedule. Showtime, man, they're doing boxing. Of course, May 15th, Luis Neri and Brian Figueroa for the WBC 122-pound title fight. There's a couple of fights underneath there as well. May 29th, Showtime Championship Boxing coming with Nordine Outball against Nonito Donaire, of course, the kid from across the bay. That's the WBC 118-pound title. June 18th, Showtime's going to go with Jermall Charlo, of course, the WBC middleweight title holder against Juan Montiel. And, of course, the 26th, Showtime going to go with pay-per-view, Javante Davis and Mario Barrios. Of course, they're going to hook it up for a couple of belts, I believe. Of course, good-looking fighter, Davis, when he's in the ring. You know, he has his problems outside the ring. Of course, right now he's got like 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 felonies against him. Some grand jury indicted him for leaving the scene of an accident a couple of months ago. So the bottom line is he's in trouble. But I think Floyd Mayweather will bail him out with a slave contract. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing. Back to the Showtime Boxing schedule, of course. July 3rd, day before. That's the Saturday night before the 4th of July. Chris Colbert versus Yuri Gambo for the WBA Super Featherweight title. Are they still retro? Are they still? What are they? Why, they keep recycling Yuri Gambo. I don't get it. I mean, he hasn't won a decent fight or a major fight in a long time. Maybe since Castro was alive. No. Fidel Castro. I kid you, he's Cuban. Anyway, the kid had defected not once but twice. Get this. He defected the first time to Brazil. So he defects to Brazil, and he's living life in this hotel, and he's eating all this food. He's got, you know, going banquets. I mean, the kid's really living large because he expects all this money from Luis de Cubas and the guys down there in Florida to come down and, you know, get him out of Brazil. Anyway, the Brazilians said, guess what? You ain't paid our bills. We're throwing you out. They went him back to Brazil. Of course, he would defect a second time. Of course, and, you know, the second time obviously was successful. July 17th, as I said, the other Charlo is coming back, Jermall Charlo, undisputed IBF, WBA, WBC, and WBO, 154-pound world junior middleweight unification match with Brian Castano. The 14th Showtime comes back again. Guillermo Rigondeaux, another guy that's been exiled from or left Cuba. Pretty good-looking fighter at 122. Going to fight at 118. Good luck on that one. An old man dropping weight. Whoa. Anyway, he's taking on John Casimero. The 28th Showtime is going to go with David Benavidez, one of my favorite fighters. Of course, when he's not sniff and blow. Anyway, undefeated, of course, out of Central California, I believe. Of course, the WBC super middleweight champion at one point in time. But, you know, coke and had some problems and this and that. Didn't make weight for a fight. Of course, had some issues as far as his training was concerned. The bottom line is he is focused and he is slated for the 28th on Showtime Championship Boxing. Yes, a guy by whose last name is going to be hell, Jose Uz Category. Okay, and the 11th, 9/11. Showtime comes back with a card. Stephen Fulton, the junior versus the winner of the Neri Figueroa bout. That's a super bantamweight world title fight. That's going to be a unification match. So Showtime's got some things going on. Why in the hell isn't HBO doing anything? To that, I asked the HBO godfather, Larry Merchant. Larry, Showtime's still rocking. How come HBO can't?
Well, maybe Showtime is still rocking because HBO got out of the game.
Okay. Good point.
I have no idea. It's another life for me, HBO.
Okay, but that's I'm sorry.
And you know, everybody wants to be Netflix and stream and make people pay for what they used to get free. That's just the nature of business and how things evolve.
You know, Larry, a guy fought last night. He appeared on TV, pay-per-view, a guy by the name of Jake Paul, some YouTube type of guy. It's pretty sad when they're putting fraudulent fighters in main events. I mean, he knocked out a guy that's never fought before. He's only fought three times himself. I mean, P.T. Barnum, I mean, his greatest line was, there's a sucker born every minute. If you bought that pay-per-view last night, you have to assume you're a sucker. I mean, you know, the guy lasted like 90 seconds.
Well, they get what they pay for, and maybe it gives them something to talk about. They're not diehard boxing fans. They're out for some sensation. Just look at all these exhibitions that are piling up. and that some people think are real, or they don't care. They just want to look at an old hero. Whatever floats their boat, and maybe it's we'll look back and say, well, it was filler material until things normalized and the fight game along with it.
Okay, I got a question for you. The June 4th, I think, under the Teofimo Lopez title offense, going to be Kevin McBride and Evander Holyfield. The last time I saw Kevin McBride, he was beaten up on the carcass of Mike Tyson in Washington, D.C. I think we were at Howard University or something like that. But outside of that, you know, I don't remember a whole lot out of Kevin McBride. I think that he couldn't have won the Golden Gloves on a good day here in San Francisco. So he and Holyfield are going to fight. Do you think it's okay for two old guys to fight each other?
Well, there are supposed to be medical commissions that decide whether they're in reasonable enough shape, and the rules are often bent to accommodate older fighters, and some fans get a kick out of it.
You know, which brings me to thinking about 1980. Muhammad Ali is trying to get a boxing license in Las Vegas, Nevada, to fight Larry Holmes. Of course, he would go down finally October 2nd, 1980, and that was a terrible day in boxing history, Ali being stopped in the 10th round after not winning a minute. Anyway, the Mayo Clinic, he went to the Mayo Clinic to be examined, did Muhammad Ali pre-fight, and he couldn't touch his finger to his nose, and the Nevada Commission gave him a license. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes dollars and cents, and commissions are not just there to regulate the sport. They're there to promote the sport, to justify their being. And so they will look the other way if there are enough dollars and cents on the table.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Another old fighter appeared on TV last night, and I think he worked some broadcast fights with him. I mean, as far as him being on a broadcast team, maybe. Oscar De La Hoya. He was Oscar De La drunk last night. He embarrassed himself, Godfather. I mean, doesn't anybody tell these guys? I mean, you and I know we don't go on the air buzzed because, you know, things happen. But he went on the air really buzzed.
Well, I think we have to remind ourselves that fighters felt most alive when they were fighting. And if you're Oscar De La Hoya and you're looking around and guys are making seven, eight figures for showing up, you say, well, why can't I have a piece of that? I'm not justifying it, mm-hmm. but I understand it. And you couldn't get me to watch an advertisement on the game, on those matches, much less the matches themselves.
You know, Oscar, I was his first publicist. A lot of people don't know that. But back in 1989, 1990, this rich guy up here in Northern California, some developer named Carl DeMay, hired me and says, I want you to be the publicist for this kid. I said, this kid? He goes, yeah, his name is Oscar De La Hoya. So, you know, I started calling him on the phone. He was a good amateur and this and that, like 1989. And his mother would answer the phone, telefono, Oscar! And, you know, we talk and this and that. So he was just a kid. And I watched him grow up and mature and this and that. And at one point in time, I said to myself, God, he seems to really have both of his feet on the ground. Then sex and cocaine got involved. And from that point forward, Oscar sort of been like a lost cause.
Well, but at the same time, he's the only prize fighter I know of who set up a promotional company that had some pretty good successes. When you get famous and rich at a young age and you're looking for higher highs, as we've noted, a lot of young fighters go off the track.
I could no doubt about that. Oscar, of course, the 1992 Olympic gold medalist. Hard to believe it was that long ago. 1992 Olympic gold medalist, of course, beat Chavez the first time back in 1996. I can go on and on and on. Of course, the big fight is. I think the pinnacle for Oscar as a boxer was beating Fernando Vargas that night, especially seeing Vargas was on those steroids.
I think that was a good night. Oscar, to his credit, fought everybody. You didn't hear about him ducking this guy or that guy. He lost some fights to some elite fighters, but he fought everybody. And he's an important figure historically in the sport because he was, the way he looked, the way he was marketed as a crossover star, how many people loved him. I think I've told you the story of being in a taxi in Barcelona, and the guy had some little boxing gloves hanging from a hook, and my wife asked him, who are your favorite fighter? Oscar De La Hoya in Barcelona, Spain. So he was a lightning presence in the game, and he fought some damn good fights.
Hell
and
yeah.
He was a damn good fighter.
Yep.
Maybe not the greatest of the greats, but he was a damn good fighter who put on entertaining fights.
You know, when I watched him in the amateurs, he was beating up guys like John Montez, who was like world ranked at 140 pounds, and like lighting them up in the gym. I mean, lighting them up. And he was lighting them up to the point where I was saying to myself, this is a combination of Alexis Arguello because of the frame and Duran because he was so fierce and he threw combinations. I mean, just from the start, Godfather, you knew Oscar was going to be a stud. You knew it.
Well, he had star quality, and he lived up to it.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, the Godfather, retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant, will stick around just for a minute. We thank him for his time. Of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, this is the Sunday edition, coming to 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and, of course, live on Twitch.tv. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Go ahead.
I want to get into it, man, you know.
Go ahead.
Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
One, two, three, four. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Wow! I feel good.
We check back in with the Godfather real quick. Larry, I got a question for you before I went to the commercial break. How's COVID working out? I mean, what are you doing? Is life changing last week? We both got vaccinated. Do you think life is, can we go back to life as normal soon?
I think we're getting there. I don't know that we're there yet, but all the indicators suggest that normal life is just gradually returning.
Well, that's
maybe by the end of the summer. I don't know. It's a little above my pay grade, but yes, things are changing.
You know, I'll leave you with this. People in the old folks' home, of course, the were elderly, were like going left and right, and now they've been vaccinated, and the COVID cases in nursing homes across the country where they've been vaccinated has dropped 100%. So, I mean, yikes! That's fantastic news. The vaccine works.
Yeah, the vaccines, the different vaccines. It's been a heroic effort. There are some places like Michigan and some countries where variations of the plague are still threatening, but by and large it seems to be that it's plateauing, if not plunging.
Well, with that, Godfather, I wish you and the Godmother a very, very wonderful week. When are you guys moving?
Oh, maybe not till the end of May.
Okay.
We're trying to figure out how we're going to put a house worth of accumulated stuff into an apartment that's half the size. We'll find out. We'll have an estate sale. We'll give away stuff to play the next game.
Well, give me the first crack at that stuff. Anyway, kiss the Godmama. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Pedro, as always.